Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hour in finance radio. And we got a great show planned for you today. But like I said, guys, I've made a liar out of myself again. My wife. Now, this is a good reason. And so it should get me off the hook. But I promised an interview. The guy that we were going to do with the interview with could only do it Friday. And my wife just let me last night know, let me in on the little secret, that she planned a weekend getaway for us. So I've got my younger cousin, Steffi. She's coming over to watch the kids. And we're getting away for the weekend. So I tried to move the interview to today, but he can't do it. He's out of the office on vacation till Thursday. So anyway, and like I was telling our friends on KTTH when we did our little 3-minute intro that you guys don't get to hear, that it's always tough during the summer, especially this summer coming off of the last year and a half, because pretty much nobody in the investment industry, at least that I know of, has really taken vacations. I've been out of town a couple times, but it's been on business, and I'm sure the rest you can relate, right? It's been crazy. It's been a blur. And so everybody's getting their vacations in. And so I've got a bunch of interviews lined up and a bunch of people we want to talk to, but either I've been out of town or they've been out of town and things keep moving around. So bear with us. But that doesn't mean you are stuck with just me today, again. But we do have a really good show planned for you today. And just genuinely, a lot of really interesting things happening, a lot of interesting things going on. You've got some technical breakouts here and some new all-time highs, but it still isn't really convincing. Really need to see where we end the week this week. I think that's really important. And it's just every day. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I mean, every single day, you've got the value play and the energy play and the reflation play. Today, I'm looking at some of the energy stocks we've got, one of them is up 12.9% today alone. One of our biggest oil holdings is up 3% today. Another one of them, 2.5% today. Yesterday, they got smacked around. Some of our value plays have bounced back. And then you have, and it's just like off and on, right? It's binary. It's ones or zeros. Either that stuff is working or the tech stuff is working. And it's literally every other day. And I think that what you're doing is you're just struggling for this market to figure out what's going to drive it forward, right? What's the next leg higher? Obviously, there was the reflation trade that we talked about, in October and November of last year, saying, listen, the reopening, these value stocks are going to get a bid. Obviously, that has taken place. But now looking forward, looking into next year, because remember, markets are trying to look out, 16 to 18 months. I always hate it when people say 18 months, like it's scientific. It's not. But markets are trying to look out ahead, right? And what markets are struggling with right now is, are we going to get that inflation that so many of us have been talking about? And on the inflation issue, we've talked a lot about this, guys. But just to revisit that, the way I see it happening there's a big, we've talked about this before, that really what inflation is, it's amazing to me how many things get dumped into the inflation category. You say inflation and people automatically think of Germany in the 20s and hauling piles of cash in a wheelbarrow and people dumping your cash out to steal your wheelbarrow, right? That's hyperinflation. That's a currency collapse, essentially, is what you're looking at. And for those people out there, like I've said before, guys, just another warning. There aren't many more people, there really aren't a lot of people out there more bearish than I am the long-term ability for the United States to keep racking up these debts. I'm a firm believer that bills come due. I'm all for a much higher level of fiscal responsibility and monetary responsibility. But we always have to separate what we want, right? What we'd like to see happen, what we think needs to happen versus what is going to happen. And under the current structure, and this ticks some people off, I get it, but under the current structure of the world, of the financial system, hyperinflation, at least here in the United States, is relatively an impossibility under the current setup. Okay, now, I'm not saying over the long run. I'm just saying when you're the world reserve currency, it's kind of hard to have a hyperinflationary setup. Now, are we going to see inflation? Yes, I think that's inevitable. I do not think that lumber is going to continue to go through the roof, right? You've seen a pullback. What we really have to decipher is rising prices due to supply constraints, right? And supply disruption, supply chain disruption via COVID. Now, some of these supply constraints, I think lumber is going to stay higher for longer than most people think. But some of these supply constraints, like microchips, it's only a period of time until they get that back online and caught back up. Now, maybe higher demand will keep those prices slightly higher. But the way I look at it is you still have a massive amount of debt out there. Remember, debt's like a weight that drags down an economy. And if you want an example, just go look at the average growth rate of the United States over the last 40 years. And what you will see is now, this is not the only factor, but there is a correlation, at least very much in my opinion, there is. You know, go look at the rising debt levels in the United States over the last 35, 40 years, and then look at the average GDP growth. And what you will see is this debt levels rose, both on the consumer side, on the government side, on the corporate side, the GDP gradually slowed down, right? You had an inverse correlation, a negative correlation. The higher debt went, the lower GDP went. Makes sense. At least to me it does, right? The more stuff we rack up in debt, the less stuff we can buy, right? So on the inflationary side, the way I think you're going to see it happen is you're going to see these inflationary impulses. Then you're going to see the Fed kind of pull back on the reins. They're not really pulling back much. You're still buying $120 billion worth of assets a month. Okay, so I mean, they're still going strong. But what we do know is every single hiccup, every single slowdown, every single problem, we know what they're going to do. They're going to crank up the printing presses. They're going to buy again. So I think it's important that we keep that viewpoint framework, the way we're looking at it is there's going to be fits and starts on the inflationary side of the trade. And so markets, how we began the segment, is markets are struggling back and forth, saying, is tech still the thing to ride, or do we need to pivot toward the inflation? But another interesting thing is happening. And the market update, just so you guys know, is going to be a little bit longer today. We're still going to split it into two segments, but there's just a lot to cover. Another interesting thing we're watching, and we've talked about this before as well, but natural gas. I think natural gas is really interesting because there's been a remarkable amount of supply destruction with the drop in oil prices, the drop in natural gas prices, and how little capital has flowed back into the oil fields. You know, we're still looking at rig counts well below where we were, pre-pandemic levels. Oil production, at least here in the United States, is not going to come back online to pre-production, pre-pandemic levels anytime soon. And remember, less domestic oil production means less natural gas. Now, what are we seeing? We're seeing more extreme temperatures, right? And there's a lot of forecasts. Now, I'm not a meteorologist, but there are a lot of really smart people, and there are a lot of forecasts that are forecasting the same this winter, more extreme weather. Extreme weather, we were running, you know, our air conditioning and heating is powered by natural gas. We've been running our air conditioning like nobody's business, right? The more extreme this weather gets and the longer it takes for these shale things to come back online, you know, I've always said natural gas scares me because the United States is literally floating on an ocean of it. However, because, again, of some of the restrictions that the Biden policy is putting into place, which is going to make it harder to drill, harder to transport, I think that's going to be bullish for the price of, you know, energy-based commodities, NGL, natural gas, and oil. And then you just don't have that supply coming back online. So it's just kind of a supply and demand story. But, again, natural gas is a widow maker and just be careful, right? And remember, can we own some natural gas in the portfolio? Yeah, but it's all about size. Right, it's all about size. I think oil is the thing that we feel a lot more confident about over the long run, just because it's a simpler deal to figure out. But a lot of other things. And when we get back, when we get, and I don't want to get stuck halfway through. So when we come back from the break, We're going to get into a lot of technical levels and then some interesting signs we saw in markets this week, including some interesting valuations that have popped up and some interesting things. In my opinion, some things happening on the valuation side that are getting to the point where it's harder and harder to ignore the extreme valuations out there. And I'll tell you what we mean when we come back for break. And as always, guys, we've got a whole section now, a whole segment rather today on risk management and the way that what is happening culturally is mirrored by what is happening in financial markets. And I've always been fascinated by this interplay because nothing happens in a vacuum. And financial markets, whether you like it, whether you want them to or not, reflect some, if not a lot, of what is going on culturally and vice versa. I think back to there was a rap video that the rapper Jay-Z put out, I want to say in 2003, 2004, when oil and natural gas, or excuse me, oil and gold were really ripping. Dollar was in a really weakening cycle. And in the rap video, he was holding up euros, right? Because the dollar was falling. So funny. It's funny to go back and look at that because if I remember correctly, that video came out like 6 months, right, within proximity of the bottom for the dollar. And the dollar started going up, going into the financial crisis. So funny how those things work. But that's an example of how, you know, culture mirrors financial markets and financial markets mirror culture. And that's going to be the segment after the market update. So got a lot of really interesting stuff, a lot of really interesting things going on. If you look at the indexes, you're not going to see a whole lot of movement, not a lot of fireworks this week. But again, under the surface, the churn continues. And that what we've referred to as that knife fight between value and tech continues. And just when it looks like somebody's pulling ahead, the other side of it comes roaring back and pulls up even or takes the lead. And it's just been that back and forth struggle. So again, what does it mean? It means that I think risk management strategies are absolute musts in this environment. And if you're coming to that conclusion, and if you're interested in what we talk about and how we drastically improve the upside of your portfolio with drastically reducing the risk and the expense, which you should be, right? Spend the 3 minutes, invest the time to give us a call, see how we do things. 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. See, I gotta vary up those "we're backs." You know, I've thought about trying to say something else, but I like that. Just, you know, coming in strong, coming right at you. We're back. Saying it with authority. Anyway. Okay, so let's wrap up market update. So key levels. If you've been listening to the show, you know we were watching the all-time highs on the NASDAQ. And I've explained countless times and probably boring you of why those technical levels matter. And that level we were really eyeing on the NASDAQ was 14,211, right in there. As of right now, you're basically 14,515. You're about 300 points above it. It's about 2.5% above that previous all-time high. To really confirm a breakout, and these things don't need to be exact, but I'd like to see that get up into the 4% or 5% range with some staying power. You haven't had that blast off yet. It could be coming. But it's just not, it's just not the conviction you were looking for here, breaking through to that new all-time high. And it's starting to look really, really pushed, the NASDAQ. And we've been talking about raised elevations in the tech and growth world for a really long time. But it just seems to me that you're reaching maximums. And I hate to say that because nobody knows, including me, timing of markets. But, you know, NVIDIA. NVIDIA is a great company. They make great chips. NVIDIA is kind of a thorn in my side because I've been watching it for 6 or 7 years, waiting for an attractive entry point on it, and kicking myself that I didn't pull the trigger sooner. We may have been long it a couple times here or there, but just it was hard to wrap my head around the valuation there. But it's just gotten so extreme. And let me give you an example of what I mean. The other day, on essentially no news, unless I missed it, they had a really good earnings report not too long ago, but essentially on no news, NVIDIA, maybe it was Monday, NVIDIA stock was up like 5.2% in a single session. And the reason that was interesting to me was if you looked at that, now this is a $500 billion company, okay? And if you're up 5%, that means that the value of the company that single day was up $25 billion. Okay, well, they're doing like $21 billion a year in revenue. And so you're kind of reaching this point now where, for instance, if your investment thesis is on NVIDIA is that you think it's going to go up another 20%, okay, that's another $100 billion. For a company that's doing $21 billion, good revenue growth, right? Good revenue growth. But that means that you think the market cap for a company that is doing $21 billion a year in revenue should go up another $100 billion. Do you see what I mean by the large number problem? How is it that with no news, a company like NVIDIA, right? Think about this on a rational level. Now, is their stock? Hey, their stock could double from here. I've said that to you guys, right? But I'm just saying you're reaching this point where I feel like even the most, you know, indifferent people to fundamental analysis and fundamental valuations, you got to start looking at this and go, wait a second. You know, now 1-2% moves on this thing in a day, you know, are the equivalent of, you know, 50% of their annual revenue. A 5% move is the equivalent of, you know, 130% of its annual revenue. You know, another 20% is the equivalent of basically 5x its annual revenue for a company that's already that expensive, you know, pushing a 25 price to earn, no, excuse me, what, 100 price to earnings ratio on a $500 billion company. I mean, it makes chips. You know, it's getting nosebleed. I mean, it's just, you know, where you're looking at it and going, hey, do I wish I'd have bought it? Yep. Do I understand why you'd want to buy it here? No. Maybe it's going, I just, on a fundamental level, you're just reaching to a point where you're sitting there going, I can't make heads or tails of this. Think about that. For a company in a single day, for their company valuation to go up the equivalent of, you know, 120, 130% of annual revenue. Right? Put that in perspective. That'd be like Boeing's stock. You know, for that to happen to Boeing, well, let's pull it up here. You know, we'll use $100 billion, their pre-pandemic high for their annual revenue. Now, it's a different ballgame. I know that chips have a lot higher profit margins, but just to put it in a, you know, put it in a familiar ground that we all know. So Boeing's at 104. So for Boeing to have the same type of move, you know, their stock would have to basically be up like 80% in a day. Yeah. based on pre-pandemic revenues. It's just wild. It's just wild. Like I said, whether the stock keeps going up or not, nobody knows. But on a fundamental basis, it's just madness. And then another one was interesting, too, was Shopify, another darling of this move, right? Another good company with great growth, and wish I'd have bought them earlier, too. Shopify announced the other day that for all their people, all the people selling on their platform, the first $1 million of revenue will be fee-free. Now, that's not a death knell for them, but I'm just saying that's interesting to me because, remember, they're basically competing with Amazon. And what they do is facilitate, you know, small business transactions, small business marketplaces online. So, you know, small businesses can set up a website really easy. And then, you know, Shopify's got all the, you know, stuff to facilitate shipping and all that, you know, all those kind of things. It's kind of like their own back office, you know, or having like, you know, a warehouse that you can plug into essentially. And, you know, they're doing that price cut, I think, to compete more directly with Amazon. But this is one of the things that we are looking for is that, you know, these cloud-based companies and these companies like Amazon and Shopify and all this kind of stuff that have been all the rage, they can only grow so big before they start bumping up against each other. And what you do when you start bumping up against each other is the easiest way to compete is to cut costs. You know, and these are companies that have crazy high valuations. And if they're cutting cost, what does that mean? That means margins are going down, margin compression. And this is one of the things that we've been looking for years, saying that at some point this thing runs its route, it runs its course, and you just get that competition and they start eating each other's, you know, eating each other's profit. So, I think that these technical levels in the market are really important to watch. I also am going to be really curious to see if there's a thrust for these tech stocks valued the way they are. I mean, they're still valued like they're going to perform like they did last year, and that ain't going to happen. It's just not. You know, Zoom's had good numbers, better than some people thought so far this quarter, but Zoom will not continue to grow at the same rate they have over the last 14 months. It ain't going to happen. Now, the interesting thing will be to see if their stock cares. I don't know. Valuations don't matter much right now. And now you've got every valuation metric, literally. Now even P.E. ratio, all of them, record highs. And that's a lot of optimism built into those prices of the stocks when you look at the underlying structure of the economy. So, but here's the catch. Those companies are growing, right? And if we don't keep this inflationary advance up, if the economy starts to flag again a little bit, you know, when some of this stimulus starts rolling off, you know, you could see, I guess, more money pouring into the tech stocks because they're growing. And maybe that means the value won't. I don't know. It's just, it's getting, I mean, you're at nosebleed levels here. It's pretty wild. Anyway, all right. So that's it for the market update today. Going to move into the next segment. Got to take a quick break first. But guys, as always, what does this all point to? This points that we live in a different marketplace. This is a different world. If you don't know that, you've been living under a rock. You look at valuations. What do we need? We need a risk management strategy. We need to know that our retirement's going to be good regardless of what happens. If this crazy market keeps going higher, great. We'll benefit from it. We'll even make more than we currently are. But if it doesn't, we got a net underneath us. How do we do that? Give us a call. It takes a few minutes to explain it. We show you the performance. We show you what it costs. We compare it to what you've got. It's easy, guys. It takes 3 minutes. You're investing in the rest of your financial future. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. So this topic came to me the other night. And we've talked about this before, but I've always, one of the things I love about this job is the human behavior aspect. Human behavior is fascinating to me in general. You know, the way that things recycle. For instance, my little daughter came down the other day. She went out with my little cousin, who's 19, 20, took my 11-year-old daughter out for the day, a girl's day. And my daughter came back with one of those chokers, you know, those tight little necklaces around their necks, you know, that were like big in the early 90s, if I remember correctly. What was the name of that movie? Remember the Darren? Well, you see, you're a millennial. Shoot. Well, there was name of a movie, and I think it had like Alicia Silverstone in it or whatever back in the 90s, where they're like these teenage witches, you know. That was the style, right? They were wearing the Doc Martin shoes with the loop, you know, the, I can't remember what they're called, but you know, the chokers around the neck. You guys know what I'm talking about, and it cracked me up because she thinks this is a new fashion, right? It's just, you know, it reminds me of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun, right? We've all been around long enough. You see, skinny jeans have been all the rage here. How much longer? Is it 5-6 years until now young kids will be like, you know, you couldn't put a tight pair of jeans on me, you know, where it goes back the other way? We all know it's just a matter of time, right? It just keeps cycling. And every generation always thinks it's new, right? And you learn over time that there is nothing new, that we just recycle. And, you know, that's an aspect of human behavior and human nature that I've always just found fascinating, and how it plays out in markets. And then also how financial markets are a reflection of that. Or perhaps it's culture reflecting financial markets, kind of a chicken or the egg scenario, right? But the point is that these things are all interconnected. And obviously, Know Your Risk Radio, we focus on what? Risk management. And what is incredible to me is, as much as I am certain, and we've been pounding this now for almost 6 years on this radio show, how risk management is just absent from the current retirement portfolio structure on average. It's just not there. Well, yeah, we got the stocks and bonds. If you don't know why that doesn't work, I've probably done 20 episodes on that topic. So that is not risk management. Okay. It's not. There was a time where that worked as risk management, mixing stocks and bonds. That hasn't worked since 2008. And it's not going to. And what I found fascinating is that lack of risk management, I see it all over the culture. And the most recent example I heard, and the reason I bring this up is because I think some of these examples can help you understand a little bit more what I mean when I say that risk management is absent in the financial world, right? Because you guys don't do that for a living, but a lot of you have kids, so a lot of you will be able to relate to this story. So my older sister, very talented, she got the brains in the family, fantastic writer. She had her youngest son, my nephew, was born with a defective heart valve. So he had to get something referred to as, I'm forgetting the name of the operation. But basically, they got to cut out like half of his heart, the part that's dysfunctioning, cut out a chunk of it. And then you kind of seal it up, and then that other part that's left is the healthy part, and it works. And he's doing great. He's doing great. But going into surgery, and my sister does a ton of research on this kind of stuff. Going into surgery, she had read about, you know, ways to boost her child's immune system going into surgery. Because one of the things that they've had a problem with, it's not just Children's Hospital up in Seattle, they've had other problems. the other places where this is an issue. But one of the issues they've had up at Children's is that kids that go in there and get operated on get something called aspergillus, which is a fungus, and it can kill you, right? And if you get aspergillus, they have to put you on very aggressive antifungals that can deeply damage, if not ruin, your kidneys and your liver. And so it's kind of that trade-off that what you want to do is avoid the fungus if you can. Now, there haven't been FDA studies on this, but there is a significant amount of research out there that says like cinnamon and thyme are natural antifungals. They are actual immune system boosters, and they actually happen to lower your cholesterol. So one of the things that she'd read about was, hey, in an effort to decrease the chances of getting the aspergillus, that fungus, that you should pump your kid full of cinnamon and thyme. And now I'm not saying that works. Don't trust me. I'm not a doctor, but I do know that those things tend to be antifungal and they are immune system boosters. So my point is even if that isn't gospel science and it doesn't work all the time, which I'm sure nothing does, right? It's cinnamon and thyme. I mean, I know if my kids were going to go in for a surgery like that, I'd load them up. Why? What's it? You know, what are they going to? Are they going to die from a cinnamon overdose? Right. It's a zero risk, total upside maneuver. Now, what's interesting is that when she's at the hospital, nobody talked to her about this. They don't advise doing that. Yet, when she spoke to the nurses up there, they said, you know, about the fungal issue, and she's like, well, I've had him on cinnamon thyme. You know, I can't remember. It's a type of, I think they come prepackaged or something like that. Anyway, the nurses were familiar with this, and they're like, oh, good, that's great. But they're not at liberty to tell that to everybody. Like, so that's not considered as an official prescription, right? So it's not part of the protocol. And I thought that that was fascinating. Now, bear with me. The reason why I thought it was fascinating is because maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. The point is if it does, even for one kid, why wouldn't you pump them all full of cinnamon and thyme? Again, there's no downside to it. It's cinnamon and thyme, for crying out loud. And yet that's not part of the... So what, they'll have no problem cutting the kid open. And then if they get the fungus, pumping them full of these antifungal drugs, which can be deeply damaging, and yet they're not prescribing this zero-risk, 100% upside type scenario. Now, praise God, my little nephew went through surgery and didn't get aspergillus. And maybe that was from the cinnamon thyme. Maybe it was just luck. Who knows? But my point is talk about bad risk management. Whenever you can do something, if there's a stock, for instance, that we know isn't going to go down, it kind of reminds me of the fixed index annuities. Why do we like them better than bonds? A, they're insured against loss. B, on average, they make 2.5 times more. If they do 50% of their long-term average, so underperform their long-term average by 50%, it still puts us ahead of bonds. So why do we like that? Because the downside is virtually zero when we compare it to bonds, and the upside is significantly higher. That's why we use them. And in the meantime, they don't cost anything, right? You flip over and look at the medical world, and you're sitting there going, you have the same type of scenario here. Why wouldn't you prescribe that? It's zero risk. And then I started thinking about the medical industry at large, how, you know, the other thing she was telling me up there is they're going to cut these kids open, compromise their immune system, and they don't do any training on nutrition. Right, think about that. So these kids get out of surgery. What should they, you know, they should be pumped full of the best food and vitamins, you know, and recovery stuff. That's not what they do. Right? Or how many times do you go to the doctor's office and you see these where somebody's got a classic type of food allergy, but rather than experiment with, you know, diet, they start pumping them full of antibiotics. They start pumping them full of ADHD medication. Right, where you're like sitting there going, wait, you're putting the kid on ADHD medication? You haven't even asked him what he eats? He wakes up in the morning, eats two Pop-Tarts and orange juice for breakfast. And then you guys want to know, you know, you want to know why he's running around acting crazy. He's pumped full of sugar. Should I act crazy if I eat that for breakfast? And it just blows my mind how in culture and in medicine and in finance, you see all these people doing these things and there doesn't seem to be the thought put into it. Where you're like, why don't we eliminate the risks that we can control that are right in front of us? For instance, do we think our kid is going to bounce back quicker from surgery or slower from surgery if he's eating really healthy stuff before and after surgery? Now, I'm not saying it's going to make the difference between life and death, but it can't hurt, right? It's a great risk management tool. And I have the same frustration when I look over at financial markets right now. We deal with clients, right? New clients coming in all the time. And I know what I'm going to see. I've been doing this job long enough. But you're looking at a market now, right? At these valuations, it's going crazy. AMC stocks, you know, $35 billion market cap, the GameStop, you know, all these different things going on. Record high valuations across the board, all this kind of stuff. You've got corporate yielding debt now. Here's fascinating. High yield, so junk debt, is paying like 3.6%. Junk debt. This is the type of bond that typically falls almost as much or just as much as the stock market when the stock market crashes. Because it's junk. It's high risk. Right? It typically carries with it very similar risk to stocks. But it's a bond. People are buying this junk debt to get 3.6% a year. Now, what's the inflation rate? I don't know, but if you're out there shopping, I'd tell you the current inflation rate is somewhere north of 3.6%. And somebody put this out on Twitter the other night where they're like, have we ever had real negative yields on junk debt? And remember, real negative yields are, if it's paying 3.6, then you have to subtract the inflation rate and that's your real return. But you got junk debt that people are buying right now at a real negative yield, and the stuff carries with it equity risk. A lot of it was just down 35, 40% last March. I mean, you want to talk about a market and a culture bereft of risk management? And that's, you know, this is anecdotal, you guys, but how do you know when you need risk management when nobody's got it, right? When nobody's got, and I'll just tell you right now, you got people paying up 3.6% for junk debt. That's a market where nobody's worried about risk management. None. And like I said, it's not a phenomenon unique to financial markets right now. You see it all over the country. You see it all over, like, you know, with the defund police movement. Right? Where, and I don't want to get too political, but you're sitting there going, hey, do we need to make some changes here? Yep. But you're kind of jumping to an extreme, and I'm putting it lightly, you're jumping to a very extreme outcome here that really makes no sense. That's like negative risk management. Now, what causes all this? I don't know. There's never that one thing. I think it's kind of a culturally unique period of time. You know, I think part of it is Uncle Sam and the Federal Reserve jumping in and saving markets every single time they quake, which is what? It's essentially what you're doing is bailing out, you know, irresponsible investors who are overexposed. So what does that do? It encourages more of it. It's a fascinating time to be alive. And again, you guys have heard what I've said. You know, I think markets could easily double from here. I don't think that's the likeliest of outcomes, but they could. It's just fascinating to me that in this environment, with all of this madness going on, all this ebullience and all this, you know, excitement and everything that and the valuations that are just nosebleed, that nobody, you know, there's just no risk management being done anywhere. And I know that so many of you listening to the show right now, you know what I'm talking about. You see what I'm talking about. You watch it every day. You're seeing it in financial markets. And what you're doing, you're sitting there. You're not making a move. You're going to fall victim to what we say, you know, you're going to move at the realization of pain rather than the anticipation of pain. And a lot of it's because you go, well, it's been working so far. Guys, everything's been working. And that's why you should take the 3 minutes. And what you'll see is that you can have a much safer portfolio that is cheaper, that actually has done better than what you currently got. So you can get safer, cheaper, and better. Better returns, more upside potential, more upside exposure. But you got a net underneath you. So when this whole thing falls apart, and it will, maybe it's not, maybe it's years out. Who knows? But when it happens, don't sit there and be like, well, who could have seen it coming? I don't know, man. I mean, every asset price in the world, I mean, I mean, we're to the point now where it's bonds, it's high yield debt, it's stocks, it's real estate, it's corporate real estate. It's, I mean, you name it. It's baseball cards. It's wine. It's vintage automobiles. There is not a guy sold a sculpture the other day. An artist sold a sculpture for $18,000, and it's an invisible sculpture. You heard me right. It's an invisible sculpture that he sold for 18 grand. A guy bought air for $18,000. You could say that he got a better deal than the guy that paid 120 grand for the banana that was duct taped to the wall. Did you see that one, Darren? That was a real piece of art, huh? I just, you know, there's one of my favorite poems, If, by Rudyard Kipling. You know, to keep your head when all about you are losing theirs. I mean, it's not fun. It feels like you're sitting at a party. But then you go look at our risk managed portfolios and how they performed. What I tell you is you can have your cake and eat it too a little bit. Not completely, right? But you can make a lot more than if you're just sitting in a stock and bond fund. And yet that same portfolio that's outperforming the stock and bond funds was down 4 to 5% last March. There's a better way to do it, guys. Invest the 3 minutes to call us. 866-779-RISK, 866-779-RISK. We don't twist arms. It's very simple. Typically, a client decides whether they're going to be a client or not in two phone calls. Just show you exactly what we do, the returns of it, the cost, compare it to what you got. Boom, Bob's your uncle. It's pretty simple. If you like it, which a lot do, great, join. If not, you're better informed. Do your thing. But we're talking about the rest of your financial life. I think it's worth 3 minutes. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back to wrap things up. I went a little bit over there, but stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Are you thinking of retiring in the next 10 years? Did you know you could spend the last of your working years paying into Washington State's new long-term care plan and not get a dime out of it? Beginning next year, this payroll tax forces employees to pay into a long-term care plan. You won't have a choice, and the only way to opt out is to have an existing plan in place. I'm not going to be paying this new tax because my wife and I have a plan. Through 525 Advisors, I recommend you do the same. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans at a free live webinar Wednesday, July 14th at 3 p.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good long-term care plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never need it. You think the plan from the state's going to do that? Attend the free live webinar Wednesday, July 14th at 3 p.m. Register now, 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right, so I just realized something in the break that I forgot to hit on one of the interesting things I saw. Now, this is not a recommendation, but one of the things we noticed is we've had 2 days so far this week. Today was basically flat. So really not much to read from it today. But we've had 2 days this week where you've had up markets, NASDAQ up, S&P 500 up. And I believe both days, all three indexes were up, of the majors. So I'm not sure where the Russell was, but S&P, Dow, NASDAQ were all up. Two different days this week, and you had the VIX, the volatility index, up at the same time. Now, the reason I bring that up is because, now, it hasn't been up big. So you got to watch it. But one of the tells of this market, and it hasn't worked 100% of the time, but it's probably been in the 80 to 90% of the time, quite honestly. And I know because we've played it multiple times. That on days where you see, especially when you're bumping up against resistance zones or key technical levels, that when you see the market up and the volatility index up, that is typically preceded a bout of volatility and a hit to the markets, typically. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen again. Like I said, it's not a 100% thing. There is no 100% thing. Not in investing anyway. Just death and taxes, right? But that's interesting to me because of these technical levels, because of this tug of war back and forth between value, tech, and growth. And then you have these days where volumes have seemed to slow down, which is typical in summer. And a day where, you know, a couple days in a row with the VIX peaking up a little bit while markets are green. And that's also interesting because you got VIX at very close to, you know, 18-month lows. I think our lowest point in the last 18, 19 months, 20 months. Is something like 13, 14 on the 14 and change on the VIX, I want to say. You're bumping right around that level, right at 15. And why that's interesting to us, because remember, we're always looking to manage against risk and manage risk, is the reason that's interesting to me is because volatility is really cheap. And what the reason I like that is because I don't see a whole lot of downside to volatility right here, not in the immediate term anyway, because it is so, it's very low. I mean, it's been lower. But it is compressed. And the interesting thing to me about that is that, you know, volatility, little, you know, some disruptions or some turbulence hit the market, volatility can go from 15 to 35 really quick. And the reason that's attractive to us is that just a little piece of volatility in the portfolio can mute out a lot of turbulence. So now that's not a recommendation. I'm not telling you whether we are doing that or not. I haven't quite made up my mind. But that is something to watch. Keep an eye on the VIX. Even on days where the market's up, keep an eye on the VIX because you've got some interesting behavior going on there. As far as other things to keep an eye on, guys, it's the same thing. Unfortunately, like I said, we just haven't seen the follow through. We want to keep an eye on inflation indicators coming out. I think that's going to be key. We want to keep an eye on anything geopolitically going on. We're watching power consumption continue to rise. I still see that wind behind oil and natural gas. Like I said, we're going to have turbulence. We got hit by some of it last week. But, you know, this is just a very, it's really hard. I mean, man, even if you see tech continue to break out, it's just, whew. I mean, you're looking at absolute cycle high valuations now. I mean, just cycle high. And I think you still need to be, you know, you still need to be diversified, you know, playing it. That's, thank God we have the two portfolios, momentum and the value, just because it kind of does that for us. But this grind sideways continues on. Like I said, it's threatening to break out, but we're certainly not there yet. I'm trying to think of other things. Bed Bath & Beyond came out with some earnings today. Nice little pop in the stock. It was up at one point, 25% on the day, something like that. That's interesting to me because you guys know that we've played Bed Bath & Beyond before and bought that at $4.67 last April and sold it in January 46 because it's got way too expensive. But you get between that 30 to 25 level on Bed Bath & Beyond, it starts looking interesting again. And I think that this quarter was more proof again that that management team is really turning things around. And Tritton, Steve Tritton, I believe is the name of the CEO, he really is a sharp cat. And he's flipped that thing on its ear pretty bloody quick. And the speed at which they've done that turnaround is really impressive to me. That is not a recommendation to buy. We do not currently own it. Again, the valuation I'm not quite comfortable with. I think there are other things interesting out there. Another one that is not popular, but Facebook. Facebook got a big pop this week from dismissal of some of the FTC violations and antitrust issues. I'm sure they're going to make another run at them again, but I don't like Facebook as a company. I don't like Mark Zuckerberg, but good golly, is that thing a cash cow? And it is not expensive. That's kind of the crazy thing about tech is some of the behemoths in tech, like Facebook, like Google in particular, are really cheap and yet put up as good a numbers as some of these companies that are just ridiculously sky high. It's getting increasingly difficult to wrap your head around what people, and I think you're past that valuation page. I think people are just buying what's going on. So anyway, guys, as always, I don't like to be too preachy. We like this to be more informative, keeping you up to date. Oh, and got a great call from a guy, a Monroe police officer, Dennis, I believe his name is. Dennis will be talking soon. I don't think Dennis knows that we actually do a similar thing. He wants to come up and talk to the Monroe Police Department and their families about financial education. We actually have done that Darren, what's the county north of King? I'm just blanking out here right now. Snohomish County Police Department. That's right. So anyway, we'll be talking to Dennis soon and always love helping in any way we can, the people in uniform. And thank you guys for keeping us safe and appreciate your whole hard work. Anyway, as always, guys, if this rings a bell, if it's hits a note with you today, talking about risk management, how it's missing in the cold, you're not wrong. Give us a call. It's just the rest of your financial future. And like I said, it works. We haven't been on the radio for 6 years because we're selling snake oil. And we've got mountains of client recommendations you can talk to. My point is there's a better way. There's a better way where you can get the growth. We can improve your growth, do better with way less risk, way less cost. Talked to a gentleman the other day. He's down 2% on the year in a more volatile portfolio than we are. And I'm just sitting there going, hey, we got a better way. Anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Follow me on at KYR Radio. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We will see you next, or not a break. We got to take a break for the weekend. We will see you next week, and we will be back with interviews ready to roll. Anyway, thank you for listening to Know Your Risk Radio on 770 KTTH, 97.3 Cairo, and KXL in Portland.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.